This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. In a mother's womb were two babies. One asked the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The other replied, "Of course, there has to be something after delivery. I'm thinking we're here to prepare ourselves for what will be later." "That's crazy," said the first. "There's no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be anyway?" The second said, "I don't know, but there'll be more light than here. Maybe we'll walk with our legs and eat with our mouths. Maybe we'll have other senses that we can't understand now." The first replied, "That's absurd. Walking is impossible. And eating with our mouths? Ridiculous. Our umbilical cords supply all our nutrition and everything we need. And because that cord is so short, life after delivery can be logically excluded." The second insisted, "Well, I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore." The first replied, "Nonsense. If there's life later, then why hasn't anyone ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life, and in the after delivery, there's nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere." "I'm not so sure," said the second. "I think we'll meet our mother, and she'll take care of us." The first replied, "Mother? You actually believe in a mother? If there's a mother, then where is she now?" The second said, "Well, she's all around us. We're surrounded by her. We are of her. It's in her that we live and move and have our being. Without her, this world would not and could not exist." Said the first, "Well, I don't see her, so it's only logical that she doesn't exist." To which the second replied, "Oh, yeah? Well, how come then sometimes when it's quiet and you focus and listen, you can perceive her presence, hear the steady beat of her heart, and you can hear her loving voice echoing in and through exactly where we are right now?" Maybe you've heard this story. We've told it periodically over the years here. It's attributed to Henry Nouwen, and at the surface, it speaks of life after death. Today, however, think of this story as what Jesus means to be reborn in this life, in this moment, to have eternal life right now, to be aware of a renewed consciousness in love and joy and following, not knowing where we will be led, and yet surrendering to that very birthing process happening in every moment in following in the way of love of Jesus Christ. To unpack this a bit, to understand how we too can be reborn in every moment, not as just a one-time thing, we have help in three ways from Holy Scripture this morning: Abram's faith, Paul's reflection on that faith, and Nicodemus going out into that good night seeking Jesus the Christ. What these three have in common is quite similar to those babes in the womb, seeking light in the darkness. First of all, we have Abram. He was just going about his daily activities, and the Lord tells him to set out to a new land, pick up your tent stakes and just go, without knowing where he was going to go or what he was supposed to do. And it was a long journey. And he does it. He does it in faith. In faith. And he goes on to be the father of many nations. Secondly, Paul, who used that, who used to be the worst persecutor of Christians as Saul, who lived in that darkness and that kind of evil, and then was literally blinded by the light, was converted and now named Paul, and become one of the greatest apostles of our Lord. He says of Abram's faith and of the God that Abram followed, he writes this at the end of the reading we just heard, "For in the presence of the God in whom Abram believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist," calls into existence the things that do not exist. That means unknown to us. He calls out for us that God calls into this existence things of which we aren't even aware, and that we can discover greater things than we can ever ask or imagine in believing and following this God that Abram followed. And thirdly, Nicodemus, with whom we'll spend a little more time. Nicodemus's story is our story, when he, like that babe in the womb, was part of the establishment and yet was being called to something greater than himself. Nicodemus was a leader in the community, a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Council. Not that much different from our Supreme Court, except that there were religious leaders at the head. So it would be like a member of our Supreme Court sneaking out into the middle of the night because he's interested in a radical young rabbi that's counter to everything that the Supreme Court stands for, wondering what he has to say, this young man who is speaking truth, supposedly. Nicodemus has great responsibility. He must have had a brilliant mind and the resources to live very well, very secure and safely. He has power and prestige, and something's missing. All of that was not enough. And he goes out into the shadows, into the night, to seek this young man, this Jesus of Nazareth. He's pulled to him by some desire within himself, not known before now. I call it the seduction of evolution, a stretching of his mind, of his heart, of his spirit, of his awareness, his consciousness. He's not used to people knowing more than he knows, not prepared for such a great teacher, for Jesus the Christ, who can see right through him, right to the core of what's deeper still within him. And Jesus does cut right through that, like a sword, as we hear in other scripture. And to Nicodemus's credit, he is there bravely seeking. He could have been killed for what he was doing, especially someone of his distinction. And yet there's that need, that desire for truth and love and justice that's coming from somewhere beyond him and beyond us into the unknown land, and yet is all around us if we'll pay attention. Nicodemus, like Abram, is being asked to journey into a land he's never seen, and to become more and more of himself and a part of himself yet to be born. And that's exactly what Jesus tells him. You must be reborn in the Spirit. Nicodemus doesn't understand Jesus when he says you must be born again. How can this happen? And Jesus says, in essence, this isn't something that you do or can even comprehend. It's like the wind. Comes to you, but not from you. Jesus says, believe me, trust me. And it's really hard for Nicodemus, and it's hard for many of us here, I would venture to say, not to know factually, clearly, where it is we're supposed to go. Clearly what God is asking of us, but how many times do we not know, right? And yet we keep moving forward in faith, saying, show me, Lord, show me. This comparison to the wind is what the Lord offers us as well. Go where you don't know and never be the same. In following our Lord, he says, trust me, surrender to my love and be reborn. not just once, but again and again and again. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And he comes, the text says, not to condemn us, but to give us salvation. And if you look at the root of that word, it's salve, like a salve you put on a wound, healing, wholeness, salvation. And just like Abraham, we were guided too in this way. This story today is beyond the usual fundamental connotation of the John 3:16 football stadium signs that everybody holds up. It's beyond that. It's true in that fundamental way, but there's so much more to it. It's to include and expand to include all nations, all people, all races to follow this blueprint of Christ. And it's not saying that only Christians will have eternal life. Think about Abraham. Think he had eternal life? I do. He didn't even know Jesus. Jesus wouldn't even appear for 1,200 years later. But he knew the Christ. He knew the word that was in the beginning of which John speaks, that would be incarnated in Jesus 1,200 years later. Jesus, the Christ, was needed to come to us to shift everything, else we probably would have perished. And so Jesus the Christ says, look at this light that has always been there, but you didn't see it. It was always around us. Come into the light, and I will show you. I'm the blueprint. I am the one person sent by God incarnate. Abraham followed that light. Paul was pulled toward that light. Nicodemus was pulled toward that light, and this light is a blessing, as God told Abraham. Given this great blessing, as we are today, to go be a blessing, loved us so much that now we are to go out and love. And it's a high bar, because that's no exceptions in that love. Doesn't mean we have to like everybody, but we have to love everyone. And we might wonder, how could we possibly do that? And we can remember, we are surrounded in the love and the light of our triune God. And the one baby said to the other, when it's quiet and you focus and listen, you can perceive her presence, hear the steady beat of her heart, and you can hear her loving voice echoing in and through exactly where we are right now. Amen.